I am thankful for the family of God. I've been out in the world for a spree when I was away from God, and I know they can't love you like God can. They can't love you like His family can love you. They can't be there for you like His family can be there for you. And I'm thankful to be in the family of God. We'll be in 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. And we'll be in verses 21 through 39. Verses 21 through 39. We were going to be in Jude once again this morning. Not Jude, James. James once again this morning. And be in James 1:8. But as I got to studying, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. My course of study landed in 1 Kings. So we are in 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 21 through 39. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, not any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come nearer unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones be built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Let's pray. Lord, as we come before You this morning, as we deal with this passage, I ask You, Lord, to give me strength to preach Your message as You have given it to me. It is what we need to hear. And I ask You, Lord, to give me the words that You'd have me to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We pick up here in the book of 1 Kings. The title of today's message is, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" We pick up here in the book of 1 Kings, and I want you to think about this morning, a little bit of the backstory here with the children of Israel. God has sent the prophet Elijah before King Ahab and the children of Israel and 450 Baal worshipers for two reasons. One, for God to get His people unstuck on who they're going to serve, either God or Baal. And the other, to convert those who are serving Baal to serve God. I've likened us as Christians to the children of Israel many times, as many other preachers also have. We have our ups and downs. We see God work out what only He could. And we praise Him one minute, then we forget it the next. The children of Israel had been delivered miraculously out of the land of Egypt from a terrible slavery. They left Egypt with a high hand. And by the way, God was the only one that could have delivered them from Egypt. And not long after they left Egypt, after deliverance, they find an obstacle. And by the way, once you decide, once you commit to God, not long after you do that, there's going to be an obstacle. It's going to come, and it happened for them. They find an obstacle. It's called the Red Sea. They have the Red Sea in front of them, the wilderness on both sides. They have Pharaoh and his army behind them. And what do? They hit the panic button. They start complaining to Moses, forgetting the last miracle that God had done for them. And they're being delivered in the first place. But God shows up. They had been protected by God. They had been provided for by God. They had been led by God and privileged by God, meaning they were something when before they were nothing. Notice also when the children of Israel got to Canaan, they began to intermingle with Canaanites, not just their culture, but their religion. And even though they had encountered the one true God, despite having seen Him work so many times, in so many ways, they began to embrace idolatry. They began to embrace false gods. And during the period of the judges, we find the children of Israel going back and forth between God and false gods. Between God and false gods. And one of the lowest points of their history of the nation of Israel was during the time of the judges, where they had no king at all. They couldn't figure out who their God was. During this time, they sunk even deeper into idol worship, particularly the idol worship of Baal. King Ahab is known as the most evil king in the history of the children of Israel. Married a woman that was even worse than he was, Jezebel. She came from a family of false deities who had advocated the worship of Baal and influenced her husband to take an even worse path. This king built an altar for Baal, built a temple for Baal. And God saw this, and as God does, when He sees a problem, He raises up a man, and He raised up Elijah. And his name means, "My God, Jehovah is He." He sent the right one to this fight. His very name said who He represented. And picking up here in 1 Kings in verse 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, 'How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him.'" It's sad, but just like in the days of Elijah, just like the days of the children of Israel, we have Christians today that are halted between two opinions. They have encountered God. They knew who He is. They know who He was in their life. They've seen all that God has done for them. Figuratively, they've seen manna fall from heavens, water pour from a rock, the Red Sea parted, and they walked through on dry land. And it's hard to believe, but they are still confused about who to serve. And at times, Christians in our churches are confused also. They are halted between two opinions. On one hand, they have God. They have God's house. They have the things of God. They have service to God. And then on the other hand, you have the gods of this world. And the world has many gods. Sports figures, politicians, CEOs, music, money, fame, houses, land. And many Christians have halted in the middle. They're sitting between the two opinions. You have what God says, you have what the world says. You have where God says to go, and you have where the world says to go. You have what God says to wear, and you have what the world says to wear. You have what God says about everything. And by the way, God does have a position on everything. Everything, God has a position on it. And if He didn't, how would we know from one minute to the next if we were right or wrong? God has a position on everything. And everything is contained in His Word for us. Yet many Christians have found themselves halted between two opinions. God in this world. Jehovah God and the gods, little g, of this world. They're halted right in the middle. Halted means to hesitate, to stand in doubt whether to proceed or what to do. This means they are stuck. They're doubting to go all in for God or all in for the world. They're standing still. They're stuck in the middle. And by the way, we should stick out in the world and fit in at church. Instead of fitting in out in the world and sticking out in church. And a Christian that's halted between two opinions will stick out like a sore thumb in church. They won't be here when it's time to be here if the world has something else going on. They won't be in their Bible or prayer if the world has something else going on. And if they live a life that bears the fruit of being half in for God, also, a Christian halted between two opinions won't fit in anywhere. Now, I've been there, halted between two opinions. And I'm not talking about an isolated incident. I'm talking about my very life, my very nature. What drove me was halted between two opinions. And I tell you, you won't fit in anywhere. They stick out at church because they're halfway in. And they stick out in the world because they're halfway in. And I'll explain like this. They come to church and stick out based on what they refuse to do. They don't want to visit, pass out tracts, miss church over worldly activities. Then out in the world, maybe they don't gawk at women and join in the conversations about every woman or man that walks by. Maybe they don't laugh at all the racy jokes that everybody else has. So they don't fit in there either. Because they're not all in out in the world either. They have limits. They have limits in the church because they're not all in. They have limits out in the world because they're not all in. You fit in nowhere. A Christian halted between two opinions don't really have a place anywhere. And just as a heads up, our next Christian workers meeting will be raising the attendance percentage for church for all leadership. This means everyone that teaches, that usurps authority over another, all teachers to 100%. Obviously, there'll be expectations, exceptions, sickness, child is sick, stuck in the driveway, death in the family, sickness, work. Pretty much everything would be acceptable to miss for, except the world had something else going on and I'm choosing to be there for it. I encourage everyone in this room right now to no longer be halted between two opinions. Halted between God and the gods of this world. Or the things of God or the things of this world. But our staff will know for sure where they are and what side they are on, or they won't be staff. It's not personal. When I got here close to 2 years ago, I didn't like 63%. I thought it was weak. I thought it was a low standard for those who are to be leading others in the path that they should walk. You would not accept 63% of services from me. None of you would. Why? Because I'm leading you. Again, it's not personal. From the day I saw the requirements for staff, I didn't like it. I love everyone in this room. I love all of our leaders, all of our teachers and deacons, but we must have standards. And it begins with our faithfulness and our commitments to God. We can't have staff confused and stuck in the middle. We need staff that's all in for God, all in for the things of God. We either need to do it right or not at all. We either choose God here at Caesarea Baptist Church or bail in the things of the world and just close the place down and everybody go home and chain up the doors. Or we need to all decide and stay decided that we're going to serve God. I want my children and the children in this church to see their teachers faithful. I want our teachers to be able to teach faithfulness and be taken seriously. Because it's a stand and it's evident. You can't teach faithfulness if you don't exemplify it. Usually what happens, though, areas that we've made up our mind on, we don't teach on. That's also a problem. Faithfulness to God should be hit on often. But you can't. Because you'd be a hypocrite in teaching it if you're unfaithful. Also, those who are halted between two opinions can't help but be double-minded. James 1:8, again, that's actually where we were going this morning. But in studying, God gave me 1 Kings to tie into James 1:8. So when we get back to the book of James, we'll move on past 1:8. But James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to first point out who a double-minded man can only be. A double-minded man or woman can only be a saved person. The world is one track. They're on one course. They got one way, one direction. The spirit within them has not been quickened by the new birth. They have not been saved. So their flesh all day, every day. They wake up, they got one track, one way. That's flesh. As where a Christian has a living spirit and a flesh that is every day fighting for survival. So a Christian's the only one that can be double-minded. And the biggest problem with being double-minded is where it leads. It leads to instability. Unstable means not steady, inconstant, irresolute, wavering. Basically, you're not steady. You're wavering in your position. You may teach something, you may say something, but live something else. You're double-minded. And again, as a church, you would not tolerate that from me. You'd be upset with great right if I decided. If the Browns had a prime time slot, if I went there on a Sunday night, you'd be livid. But you condone it from others. But I wouldn't do that anyway, because I'm not halted between two opinions. I made my mind up that I'm serving God, and it's not this world and the things in it. I live here, but my home is not here. If you're double-minded and halted between two opinions, you'll also be wavering. Wavering means fluctuating, being in doubt, undetermined. I don't know how people can even attempt to serve God and be in doubt about who they serve, who takes priority. And I come to you this morning, like the prophet Elijah did to the people that day, and I ask you this morning, how long halt ye between two opinions? Then I say as he did, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Elijah was saying essentially, will you make your mind up? Will you stop with the back and forth? The flip-flopping, serving God today, serving Baal tomorrow, then the day after that, serving God, then serving Baal the day after. He's saying, make your mind up. If it's Jehovah God, then serve him today and stay with him. If it's Baal, then go there. We see their response in 1 Kings. End of verse 21, and the people answered him not a word. By the way, these messages like this morning, are hard to preach, hard to teach. I've struggled with it all last night, barely slept, struggled with it all this morning. Struggled with it. They're hard to preach. They are. For one, they're hard to preach because I have a flesh and I mess up. And I'm preaching to myself. And nobody likes to preach to themselves. But some of us preach to ourselves for a living. They're hard to preach. They're hard to teach. And the reason why is because some are not all in for God. And the preacher knows who based on observing. They're also hard to listen to. Also for those who are not all in for God. You know why they were quiet in 1 Kings, just like the church gets quiet, is because they'd been caught. They were caught stuck in the middle. They were caught being lukewarm. They'd been caught undecided. And I say this in love. After being here for going on a couple of years, we have some here that are undecided. And I ask you, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long will you keep coming to God's house with your mind not made up? Think about this. What if someone was always coming to your house confused about being your friend? They were stuck in the middle between being your friend or not. You were doing things for them. You were having them over. You were trying to take care of them the best you could. But they were in the middle about being your friend. How much time, for those who are single and then for those who are married, think back. How much time would you give a boy or girl that was stuck in the middle on returning your affection towards them before you called them to the carpet and said, you better choose soon and very soon if you're going to like me in return or not, or I'm walking. And at Caesarea Baptist Church, I ask you today, how long will you walk the tightrope and not just go all in for God? How long? I've been here close to 2 years, and some, if not, committed more than they were the day I got here. That don't mean God isn't close to breaking through. It don't mean that God isn't turning your hearts. But it does mean you haven't done it yet. What does that mean? You're stuck. You're halted. Your mind is not made up. Some may be doubting if you give more of your time that God's going to come through for you. Some are doubting if you give more money that God will come through for you. It amazes me what people do when they get in a tight pinch financially and the mountains that they will move to get more income. Catch themselves in a spiritual drought, they won't come to church more. They won't serve God more. They won't give more to God. It's amazing what we do and what we don't do. And we give ourselves away by that. We give ourselves away by it. And some know, and know good and well. I can tell by attitudes that surround occasions when minds have been made up and they're in a spiritual funk because they told the Spirit of God when He came to convict hearts what they wanted to do and then went and did what they wanted to do. And they are at a break in fellowship with God, and it is also evident. Being defensive when nobody said nothing. Now, just by example, not one time have I said anything to anybody about wearing ladies wearing pants. Not one time have I said that to anybody about their personal life. But people ask my wife all the time why she wears skirts and tries to make an issue out of it. Why? It's a standard. Or because we homeschool. It's a standard. See, people have a problem with a higher standard. That's the problem. We've talked about it. We've not made anybody feel bad for having what we might would consider a lower standard. But people seek to make you feel bad for having a higher one. Defensive. You're defensive against your conscience. You're defensive against the conscience of others and against what you know the conscience and the position of this church is. Again, this is a hard message. My flesh didn't want to preach it, but the Spirit of God said to. I checked back with Him about 10 times last night. He told me to keep coming with it. And again this morning, He said, preach. I love everyone in here, but we must have standards. We must choose God once and for all and go all in. And I can't choose for anyone in here. But when it comes to our staff, those who usurp authority over another, you will choose God or your position of service. You'll choose Baal and the things of this world, and if you do, you'll lose your position of leadership for God in this church. Notice also there will be results based on your decision to go with God or Baal. God has results. Baal and the things of this world has results. There's a cause and effect. See, the people in 1 Kings that were Baal followers were calling out for Baal. And when you are serving the world, you are in essence calling on the world to come through for you in a way that only God can. And as we see on down further in the story, God shows up. And those who are on the wrong side of things, and for those who are on the right side of things, need to have the right mindset and the same mindset as Elijah did in verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Elijah saying, even if I'm the only one left, the only one that remained, I will still remain despite the prophets of Baal being 450. It's amazing. We'll back down to one person. We'll change our standards over one person. You had a church in Nashville change their whole constitution on the area of homosexuality because one famous country singer went up to them and said, we should be lenient on it. One person. But yet the prophet of Elijah against 450 Baal worshipers and a king chose God. And I say the same for me. Regardless of the decision that some of you may make today, I'm still serving God. And this church will set a standard and it will be met by those who embrace the standard. And it will be met by those who have decided to go in, all in, for God. The standard needs to be high. So that without a doubt, it takes God for me and you and whoever to get there. This is what Elijah done, verse 33 through 35. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Water and fire does not mix. For fire to burn where there is water, where water is present, would be an act of God. See, man could have manufactured fire to make it look like their God showed up, which is strange fire. We'll call that strange fire. But the standard was so high, it was to the place where they knew that God is the one that done it. And you know what standards will also do? It will weed out all of those who are not all in. Because it takes God for them to meet the standard. And they don't have him in the way that they should in order to meet the standard. So you set the standard high. And I want this church to be blessed of God. I want this place packed out in God's hands. I want people pouring into this place. I want souls to be saved and baptized and join this church. But those are results of God's blessings. And we will not get God's blessings if we have folks that are on their own accord, on their own schedule, doing what they want to do and still leading. God won't bless it. Verse 38, we see the rest of the story. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. I want us at Caesarea Baptist Church to decide today and say today and mean it. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Forget this world and commit to God and go all in for him. Joshua said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Another leader that had problems with the children of Israel and wanting to forsake their God for false idols. He's telling them, choose you this day. Elijah's essentially saying the same thing. Make up your mind. Some in here today, your mind's made up. My mind's made up. Do we mess up? Yes, we do. We're going to mess up. We're going to mess up all the time. But I encourage everyone today to make your mind up that you're choosing God. You're choosing him. Not the things of this world, not the false gods of this world, but you're choosing God. It's important. And it's important for us as leaders, as teachers. We are training more so by what we do than what we say. Because if I called off the pulpit every other Sunday and came in and preached faithfulness, you wouldn't give a hoot, and I wouldn't be here very long. Expect that from everyone that teaches you. Expect it. You won't be faithful if they're not. Expect it. And that's what I expect going forward. We'll have our Christian workers meeting coming up in the spring, and that's what I expect from everyone that usurps authority over another, and that is faithfulness, that is commitment to God. And they will choose God or Baal. And it's going to be an indicator if some classes are lost over someone's choice. It's going to be an indicator who they serve, that their mind is made up. And it's not God, and it's not the things of God, and it's not in our best interest. It'll be an indicator. Let's pray.